And Parashas Kisisa has many, many, many Yisoidos and Yadus, the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Rachamim. We have Zuchus Ova, Zuchor, Li Avraham, Li Yitzchak, Li Yaakov, the Egel. We have the Ketores, the Kior. We have the Moadim. I mean, the Parasha is literally Kolat HaRakula. The Parasha is jam-packed. And to top it off, we also, it's Parashas Para, the Taharoson Shel Yisrael. So let's discuss a few short little ideas. The first idea is Moshe Rabbeinu, one other major thing, is Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? If you are not going to forgive the Jewish people, Mocheini na misifr chasher kosafta. Moshe Rabbeinu made a very powerful demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's leveraging all of his accomplishments and weight, and he says you have to forgive Klal Yisrael. And we know that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu did forgive Klal Yisrael, the words of a tzaddik have consequences, have influence, have ramifications, and Moshe Rabbeinu's name indeed is not mentioned, at least in one parasha, in Parashas Tetzav. We spoke about that last week. But in this week, there's a very Rashi, by the way, the Rashis on this parasha, from all the parashas, the Rashis on this parasha are dynamite. Rashi packs in incredible chidushin, yisoidos, in Parashas Kisis like none other. And every word of Rashi is just dripping with power. Mm-hmm. And here, in this conversation, where Hashem says, when Moshe says to Hashem that you have to forgive them, there are a few words which shook me up just a little bit, not very much, but the words are, let me read the words. Vayoyimer Moshe, let me follow up. There was Lech Alei Mizeh, okay. Atov Amasher Helez the Meretz Mitzrayim, okay. Then Moshe goes on to say, okay, one second. I have to find it exactly where it is over here. Yotzam and Earl is a very important Rashi. I have to find the exact words of the Rashi. I hope it's not going to take me too long to find it. Just one moment, please. Okay, here, I think I'm getting closer over here. Okay, here it is. Okay, I got it. Baruch Hashem. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Beis. So I'm Pasuk Lamed, Perik Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'ata, and now, Im Tisochatasam. If you will forgive them, excellent. If you will forgive the Jewish people, that will be excellent. Im Tisochatasam, fine. V'im Ayin. Erase me from your book, from the book that you have written. Rashi, delete me from the book that you have written. So if you don't learn the Rashi, you just say whatever you want to say. You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I've really invested a lot in these people and they made a mistake. You have to forgive them. If you don't forgive them, I quit. Okay, so you know, you don't really need that much commentary. It's pretty straightforward. Yet Rashi adds commentary and he says something that you don't necessarily expect. And what does he say? V'yatoa na'im tisachatosam haretoiv. If you forgive them, excellent. Eini oimulucha mocheini, I'm not going to tell you to erase me from your book. V'im ayin, if you don't want to forgive them, mocheini, erase me. V'zem mikro kotzar v'chein harbe, misifrcha, erase me from your entire book. Your entire, mikol hatoiro kula. Isn't that amazing? Mitola toiro kula. Why did Rashi have to say that? I don't know. But Rashi goes on, Shelo Yoimru. I don't want anyone to ever say a lie about me. Shelo Hoyisi Kedai. I was not worthy. Levakesh Alehem Rachamim. I wasn't worthy enough. I wasn't a person who was worthy, who had a value, who had significance to request on their behalf rachamim. Now let's try to understand what Rashi over here is saying. What would have happened? Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have forgiven the Jewish people. What would have happened? So Hashem told Moshe, we're going to start all over with you. You have children, Gershom and Elazar, and from them we're going to make a new nation, or maybe you'll have more children. You will be the new, instead of the Jewish people saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, we're going to start, it'll be Elokei Moshe, Elokei Gershom, Elokei Elazar. We're going to start fresh.
Aaron?
Maybe not. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. You're right. You have to work out all the details. But basically, this nation of 600,000 men, to really 3 million people, including their wife, their women and children, we're going to delete from the world, and we're going to start slow all over again with you. It may take a couple of generations. It may take some time until we come back, until where we were now. We're going to start all over again, and we're going to have the Torah, and we're going to have a Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and we're going to have the whole story. And then the new nation will read, there was a Bereshis, there was a Noach, a Lech Lecha, they'll come to Shemos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they worship the Egel, Hashem destroyed them, and Hashem started with Moshe. No, there'll be a few more parashiyos, we'll go weiter. And there'll be a Torah, and Moshe will have a legacy. There'll be Moses, and we'll make a motion picture film. It'll be a little bit different. It'll be a little bit different, the motion picture film. But there's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have a legacy. As Moshe says many times in this parasha, I will give you renown. I forgot the exact words. The shame, yidaticha v'shem. I will make you known with renown. Moshe, you're going to be a legend. Your picture will be hanging in every public school. They're going to name Moshe, Moshe. Everything's going to be about you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing is going to be different. The Klal Yisrael, they're finished, and we're going to have a new nation, and your name, Yidaticha, I will make myself known to you, B'Shem, which means different things, and maybe I'm bringing the wrong pasuk, but it's clear in this parasha, Hashem promises Moshe world renown. Moshe says, it's worthless to me. I'm not interested in kavod, in world renown. My name should be all over the world. When people will study my legacy, will study my existence, and they will see that I originally nurtured, raised a nation, and I did not and was not mevakesh rachamim for them. Nothing, it doesn't say that in the pasuk. Rashi adds this in. Rashi adds in a statement that it doesn't say anywhere. Maybe in Chazal it says this, I don't know. Rashi adds in a chiddush nifla that you would not say if not for Rashi's words. And where Rashi got this from, I don't know. Maybe you may have to go study a little more chorus. Is Moshe, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. You'll go and make a new nation and everything will continue to be Torah and the world will achieve its purpose. There'll be a Mashiach, v'chulu, v'chulu. But don't include me in this. I don't want to be mentioned as part of the global plan of bringing the revelation of Hashem to this world when someone will study my history and they will say, wow, look at that man Moshe, look look what he accomplished, but he did not pray, he was not mevakesh, he wasn't kedai that he should pray to Hashem to have rachmonis upon these people who did an avera and ask on their behalf forgiveness. It's worthless. My world renown is utterly worthless if someone will come along and say that about me. That defect in my character will is so evil, it is so bad, it cancels all of my other accomplishments.
By the way, it seems very interesting that winning arguments seem to be what people will say. People may say this. The winning argument to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people will say
you took out Egypt.
People, but you weren't able to.
Correct. Or people will say, it's a very, very important point you're making. Absolutely. But here we're focusing specifically on Moshe himself, on Moshe. What?
It's a slightly different
point. It's true here. It's absolutely true here. Because what are they going to say about me?
Right.
They're going to say Moshe went to heaven. He received the Torah. That's not going to change. 40 days, 40 nights, he did not eat, did not drink. He brought down the Torah Min HaShemayim. He split the Yam. He was a miracle man. And he's responsible for the Geula, for the revelation of Hashem in this world. World renown. But you know what they're also going to say about me? they're going to say that he was a selfish person, or he was a selfish person. He wasn't kedai. He wasn't worthy enough that he should do a favor for someone else and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachamim upon these people, Nebuch, who did an avera.
But it's interesting when that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered and says, Salach li kidvarecha, like your words. And most people attach up your words because people will say about Hashem that he wasn't able to bring them.
It probably includes everything. Kidvarecha includes everything. Any kedai. These words are so powerful. Why are they so powerful? Because guess what? Every single person in this world is also writing a book. They're writing an autobiography. Every single person in this world, everything, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we focus on this concept. Everyone's writing their own book. You're writing a book about your life, your accomplishments. And the day will come when the book will be complete.
Like person, Ruvain would have known that they're writing about.
They would have, he would have come out and done all these things. Absolutely.
On the shoulder. And Rabbi Lazzal says, every one of us nowadays
is writing a book.
The book is being written. And
Misifricho Asher Kosafta.
Men and women, boys and girls.
Every single person is writing their own book. What happened here with Moshe Rabbeinu was just a dogma for every single person to compare themselves to. Everyone's writing a book. And the day is going to come, no one lives forever, and the day is going to come when the book will be complete, and it'll be published, and it'll be available on Amazon. And people are going to read the book. What are they going to say? Are they going to say about us, yeah, he accomplished this, he did this, he was the president of a shul, the president of the United States, prime minister of Israel, and he was a billionaire, and he did this, and he had wonderful children, accomplished all these things, he knew Kol Torah Kula.
What did you do for the other guy?
What did you do for someone else?
Yeah.
What did you do for someone else? Were you ever mevakesh? Were you kedai? Were you worthy enough to be mevakesh rachamim for someone else? Shelo yoimru olai, shelo hayisi kedai levakesh alehem rachamim. There's no one in this world that accomplished more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Impossible. He brought down Hashem's divine presence to this world permanently in the Mokim Hashuas Hashchina. He took a nation, goy mikarei of God. He was Hashem's agent. He brought down the Torah from Shemayim. He brought the Shechina to this world. He brought the nation into Eretz Yisrael. He didn't cross over the Arden, but he set everything in motion. He conquered Oig, Melech, Habashan, Oig, Sichon, and Oig. There's no one that did more than Moshe Rabbeinu. No one. And yet, all of my accomplishments are nothing. If someone will say about me that I wasn't kedai levakesh rachamim, levakesh alehem rachamim. Wow. If that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said about himself with all of his accomplishments, we're okay. So you were not levakesh rachamim for someone else. You brought down the Shechina, you know the benefit? We'll name all the schools and hospitals and institutions after you. You did quite a bit for this world. If they're going to say this to them, it's worthless. What can we say about ourselves? What could we, our few accomplishments that a person can accomplish in this world, if they're also going to say, when they're going to read our book and they're going to say that we were shelo hayisi kedai levakesh aleihem for someone else who was in need to pray for them, to help them, we're worthless. It's a frightening. Everyone is writing. Let's be realistic. Everyone's an egomaniac to a certain degree. You're here in this world to accomplish something. All of the accomplishments are efes v'ayin if it's going to be said, shelo ha'yisi kedai levakesh aleihem rachamim. The Musa Haskel is obvious and is extremely frightening. That's the takeaway from this pasuk. Okay, let's now go to another idea. And this idea is a very interesting idea. Shabbos Kodesh. Now, on Shabbos Yom Tov, we say Kedusha. And we elaborate. Nikadei sheshim chabaylam v'chulu kadoish Hashem tzevokas v'lochor tzevdo. Oz b'koil rash godo. Ah, Shabbos. Right? Then there was a loud commotion. Adir v'chazak mashmim kol. A mighty, powerful sound. Misnasim. The Malachim, the Malachi Hashares, they were instrumental in causing there to be a loud noise heard. Misnasim Lumas Rafim, the Malachim, different types of angels, they raised themselves up opposite the Srafim. And Lumasam Baruch Yemeru, they said, no, let's praise Hashem. So they say, Baruch Kvar Hashem Mekaymoi. You know, I'm reading the wrong Kedusha. I'm sorry, I want to do Musaf. Such drama, right? Such drama. I really want to focus on Musaf. Okay, let's go back there. Kivoido, okay, the Malachim, they say, Vikara ze el ze viamar kadosh 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 Hashem tzevakos meloi chaloretz kivoido. Then, kivoido moloi oilam. And then all of a sudden, someone asked the question. You know, let's put aside all of the, you know, the fireworks. Excuse me, where is Hashem's kavod? Yeah. Baruch kivoid Hashem mimikoymai. Excuse me, where? Point. I don't see any signs. I hear a lot of noise. There's a lot of glitter. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors. But excuse me, where's the men's room? Where is it? Okay, I'm just joking. Chas v'sham. I don't mean chas v'sham. I'm just trying to wake everyone up, wake myself up. Kivoyde moli olam, moli olam. Mishares of shayalim zel zel ayei mikoyim kivoyde. Where is Hashem's mokoyim? Luumasam baruch yomeru. Luumasam. So they respond. They say baruch kivoyde Hashem mikoyimoy, baruch Hashem mikoyimoy, and they answer. You know where his mokoyim is? You want to know where Hashem's the mokoyim is? Mimikoyimoy, hu yifen berachamim. The Mekoyim Kivoyd Hashem is Yifen, it is imbued. I don't know if that's the right word for the word Yifen. What?
Who Yifen,
alright, you say it turns, Berachamim, it's Yifen in Rachamim. What does that mean? What does it mean? It's Yifen Berachamim. I remember seeing years ago, basically, the Malachim say it's a polite way of saying we don't know either. We don't know either. It's Yifen. We have to find a more precise word in the context of the word Yifen Berachamim. I'm embarrassed to say I don't have a precise word. Using it turns, it's hidden, it's enveloped in Hashem's Rachamim. So nu where's the Rachamim? Nu show me the Rachamim. The Malachim are just Lahavdil Bil Elif Alfa Avdalis with every exponent in the world. It's like someone like he asks a politician a question and they give you a whole answer which basically is just to avoid the question. You're just trying to avoid the question. You wanna know where his Makayim is? The Rebbeinu Shlomo is Yifen, but excuse me, where is the Makayim Rachamim? Basically, we don't know. We don't know where it is. Hashem is hidden. Hu yifin berachmim. V'yachoyin am ham yachadim shemoy ere v'voike b'chol yoyim tam p'mayim b'yavo shemoyim. It's just an elaborate way of saying, we don't know where it is. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. It's everywhere, and especially when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowing rachamim upon Klal Yisrael, when they recite the Shema Yisrael, that's where you will find the Mikoyim Kivoydai. I think that's like a very, it's like very vague. We say this every Shabbos. What are we really saying? I never knew what we're saying. I still don't know what we're saying. However, studying the Rash in this week's parasha, I want to say a drush. It's not the pshat, so no one shoot me yet. A drush. A drush, something to think about that explains exactly what we're saying over here in the Musaf of every Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rashi, it's unbelievable how Rashi Mamish says this. Right after Moshe Rabbeinu has a whole long conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with with Pasuk Lamed Beis. I lost the Pasuk over here already. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Then we go to Hashem says, Lech Alei Mizeh, bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And then the Pasuk says, okay, let me jump a little bit ahead. I'm jumping down to Pasuk, the next parak Pasuk, Vavayishma Mesadav HaHaru HaZev HaYisavu B'Loshasu Yased Yomelav. Give me one a little bit further. Oh, here it is, okay. V'hoya U'moyshe Yikach Pasuk Zayin, the next parak Lamed Gimel. U'moyshe Yikach Es HaOyel. Moshe, he takes the tent. V'notoloy, and he takes, I guess, like it comes in a kit. Like you buy an Amazon, it comes in a box. Comes in the box, he has a tent in the box, and he takes the box with all of its tools and all of the it's, you know, you put it up like a sukkah. The notolo, he pitches the tent michutz lamachane, harchek min hamachane, at a distance. Moshe, Hashem is angry. Hashem at this moment in time is still very angry with the Jewish people. He has not come to a conclusion yet what to do. And in the meantime, Moshe is also furious with the Jewish people. The Rebbe is bekas, the Talmud is bekas, as Rashi says. So in the meantime, until they figure out what to do, Moshe takes a tent and he goes out 1 mil. Approximately a mil is 8,000 amos. He goes out 8,000 amos outside.
2,000 amos.
2,000 amos is a mil? Yeah. Okay, sorry, 2,000 amos. And he goes out 2,000 amos out of the camp, harchek min hamachaneh. And he pitches the tent, he erects the tent all by himself. The Koroloi, he calls it, he gives it a name. The Ohel Moed. Again, the Mishkan has not yet been built. Even though we learn Parash as Truman Tetzaveh, we're going back in time. And this is right after the Chet HaEgel. The Parashos are not in chronological order. Moshe comes down from the mountain 40 days after Matan Torah, and he sees them worshipping the angel. He shatters the luchos. He goes to Shemam as a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in the meantime, during this point of conversation, he goes out and he pitches a tent and he makes this place called, he calls it the Ohel Moed.
Is this out of the Onan?
I don't know. V'koru l'Ohel Moed. And then the pasuk goes on to say, V'hoya, our Rebbe Moshe, he's really angry at us. When they just finished killing everyone, they just finished killing all the perpetrators, people who worship the eagle, and Moshe's fuming mad, and Hashem is fuming mad. Maybe someone should, knock on his door and see if he calmed down, and maybe we can have a conversation to figure out what to do now. We are, after all, in the desert, surrounded by snakes and scorpions, and we got to figure out what to do with the 3 million people, what it's going to be. V'hoyo, kol mevakesh Hashem. Anyone who wants to seek out Hashem, which means the Shechina, Yetze would go out, El Ohel Moed, they take a hike, 2,000 amos, down the block, and go to the tent of Moshe. Hashem yichutz l'machane. V'hoyo, ketzeis Moshe, El Ohel, yakumu kol ha'am, v'yinitzu, when Moshe came out, everyone stood up, they gave him respect, ish pesa'ala v'yibitach rei Moshe ad boi ha'ola. Okay, Rashi says some amazing things here. Rashi says, Moshe may oisay avon v'hola, from going forward, yikach es ha'oil, he took the tent, and what did he do with the tent? He took the tent, l'shoyin hoive, loikech es ha'ola, v'noiteu michutz l'machane, Omar, he said, menudil rab, menudil talmid, okay, it's not, we want harachek, alpayim ami, Rabbi Mintz was correct, and Mordechai Mintz was correct, it's michutz from 2,000 amos he went, and Rashi says something incredible. He called his private tent Hu Beis Vad L'mevakshei Torah. It sounds almost like a journal from the 21st century. You would read this Rashi, if you would not know this is a Rashi, you would say, oh, it's like someone today in the 21st century, he wrote this in some yeshivish journal. The Ohel Moed is Moshe's private home. Moshe's private home, he called it a tent of meeting. Meeting what? Who are you meeting with? You're meeting with people who are mevakshei Torah. That's like a very yeshivish term in today's vernacular. People who are mevakshei Torah. You would think you're in a good convention, right? the Mevakshei Torah, Tere, the Mevakshei Torah. He called his private home a Beis Vad, a place of meeting, L'mevakshei Torah, and the pasuk says, Kol Mevakesh Hashem, Mikan L'mevakesh Pnei Zaken, Kimekabel Pnei Shechina. Moshe Rabbeinu is not Hashem. And yet the pasuk calls Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem's name. That's what Rashi says. Anyone that wanted to see Moshe would go there. But the pasuk says, Kol Mevakesh Hashem, Mikan. If you want, you go, you see a Zokain, an older person who is a Talmud Chacham and a Yorei Shemayim. It's Ki'ilu Yimekabel Pnei Hashchina. The pasuk here is calling Moshe Rabbeinu by the name of Yudke Vavke. Pilei Ploim. Mikan, Limavakesh Pnei Zokain, an older person like Moshe, Kimekabel Pnei Hashchina. Now is the really shocking thing that it says in Rashi. Yetze, anyone that wanted to be mekabel the Pnei Hashchina, Yetze would go out El Ol Moed, Kemo Yotze, okay, Dover Acher, V'hoyo Kol Mevakesh Hashem, anyone that wanted to see Hashem, Afilu Malachei Hashores. It's Rashi in Chumash. There's not a Chassidus of Maisa here. Even if the Malachei Hashores in Shemaim, we're talking over here, the Kedusha, the Malachei Hashores. I'm now going to read the Kedusha. They're talking to each other. Let's imitate what the Malachei Hashores do in Shemayim. Hamakdishim Shimcha Bakoidesh. Kakasuv Gadnevyecha, the Koro Zil Zeviomar. The Malachei Hashores in Shemayim, they say, Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Hashem Tzivakos Muloi Cholaritz Kivodo. Kivodo Mole Oilam. Mishorsov. Hashem's ministers, the Malachei Hashores. Shoyalim Zeloze. Aye Mikoim Kivodoi. Where is he? Where is Hashem? Oh, you want to know where he is? I'll tell you where he is. Baruch v'Hashem m'koymai. Back to Rashi and Chumash. Kol mevakshei Hashem. Afilu malachei Hashores kishohoyu shoyalim. Mikoyim shechina. Where is he? Isn't that what it says in the Kedusha? Ayei mikoyim kivoydai. Where is the mikoyim shechina? Chavreihem oimrim lohem. The other malachei Hashores respond. You know where he is? Harehu be'oihaloi shel Moshe. He is in the tent of Moshe. The Ribbono Shel Shamayim, where is Hashem? He's not here. He's on vacation. Where is he? He's on earth. We're on earth. It's a big place. He's in the Saudi Arabian desert in a tent by Moshe Rabbeinu. He's in the tent there. What's going on in that tent? That tent is the Mevakshei Torah, Rashi says. It's an ohel, a tent of meeting. Meeting who you're meeting? You're meeting with people who are Mevakshei Torah. Chazal say, what is the minimum to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of Talmud Torah? Kriyashma shel Shacharis and Kriyashma shel Arvis. Now we have all the pieces that we know need now to understand what it means, the Kiddush that we say every single Shabbos in Musaf. The Malachi Hashores say, yes, a question, Elam Zelazeh, Ayem Mekoyim Kivoyda, where is Hashem? Baruch Vod Hashem Mekoyimoy, you know where his Mekoyim is? Mekoyimoy, it's Yifen Berachamim. It's in a Mekoyim of Rachamim, whatever the word Yifen really means. But they explain, they tell you where the Rachamim is. The Yochoin Hashem bestows Chayn, Am Hamiyachadim Shmo, who unify his name, where? Erev Avoyker, in the evening and in the morning, Bechol Yoim, every single day, Tamid, Pamayim Be'ahava, when they twice a day recite Shema Oimrim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'hogisa bo Yoimam V'layla. Kriya Shema is the beer, Chazal say, Yumekayim, the mitzvah, the oiraisa of Talmud Torah, Mevakshei Torah. Twice a day, with the barest minimum of saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In other words, what the Malachi Hashores are answering is, where is Hashem? Hashem is in the Beis Medrash. He's in the place where they say the bare minimum. Even if they just say Shema Yisrael Hashem, they learn Talmud Torah, V'hogisa bo yoimam v'layla, pamayim b'chol yoim, be'ahava Shema Yimim, he's found in the morning koilo. Can you imagine? In Shemaim, billions, trillions, malachi, hasharis, ayim b'koyim kevoidai, he's on earth, in Ocean Avenue, Avenue L, somewhere there in the back room, where pamayim b'chol yoim shmaim, he's in the Ohel Moed, in the base vad. What is an Ohel Moed? It's a base vad l'mivakshe Torah. Rashi, in the v'koru ha'yokoru l'Ohel Moed, hu base vad l'mivakshe Torah. Kol mivakesh Hashem. Anyone that wants, they went to Moshe, yetzei elol, we read the Rashi, afilu davarachev, v'hoya kol mivakesh Hashem, afilu malachei hashores, kishahoyu shayalim, when they would ask the question, mikoyim shechina, where is the mikoyim shechina? Chavrehem, their friends, the other malachei hashores, oimim would respond, lohem, harehu, you know where he is? He is be'oholoi shel Moshe. What is the oholoi shel Moshe called? V'koroloi, ohol moed. Was it an ohol moed? A base vad l'mevakshe Torah. What is the bare minimum mevakshe Torah? V'hogisa bo yoimam v'layla, pamayim b'chol yoim? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This answers, and what do we gain also from the piyut of this? This is the makom where Hashem is yifen berachamim. Torah is the midos, is the yud gimel midos she'atar nedreshes hevei doim eloi. Torah are the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a makom of rachamim. Torah is the essence of Torah, is a tool that is yifen berachamim Yisrael v'oiraisa v'kudsha brichu chadhu. The Yochain Am Ham Yachadim Shemo, and through Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Chain. The whole parasha, Motsasi Chain Beinecha. Motsasi, the Mida, Motsasi Chain Beinecha, Am Ham Yachadim Shemo, Erev Voiker Bechol Yoim Vigiso Bo Yoim Volaila, Pamayim Biava Shmaimim. In essence, when we read the Kedusha, and you talk about the Malachi HaShoris all the way in the highest heaven, where is Hashem? Hashem is not in heaven. He's not in the eighth heaven. He's not in the seventh heaven. He's not in the sixth heaven. He's here. He's here. Where is he? He's in the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Vad, in the Mokim of the Mevakshe Torah, where they learn Torah. And you don't have to learn such sophisticated things. Even to learn the simple pasuk in Chumash, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, that's where Hashem is to be found. That's the makom where you're going to find the Yifen Berachamim, the makom where you're going to find the Yochin Am Hamyachadim Shema. Pashat Pshat. Rashi Mamish and Chumash tells you the Pashat Pshat in the Piyut, the Kiddusha that we recite every single Shabbos at Musaf. Hello, Dover. Okay, let's go to another part.
Before that, it's a beautiful challenge. I'd like to mention another interesting thought. Rabbi Yochanan has a principle. There's a principle of the Torah. Kol makom sha'ato b'itzei gedulason shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sham, they, you will also find.
His humility.
You find
Midas.
His Midas.
Humility.
So that could be another interesting pshat there, in a different idea, where it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malach Haaretz Kavaydai Molei Olam Shosav Shalim Ayevakim Kavaydai Yifen Barachamim. His tuvo, the good that he does, he turns towards doing rachamim.
How do they translate in the article the word yifen? How does it translate in the article siddur, the word yifen?
I don't have it, not
translated. Oh, so it's only in English.
Now, this is the concept we say, like, Gondo v'tuva moliyava. So we think, where is the Kodesh Baruch Hu? It's Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this connects to the first maimon that you were mentioning, that where that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do for the others? What, you know, that's a principle of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Wherever is his gedula, there you're going to find his tuvo, his rachamim,
his midos,
and the rachamim. Another possible thought.
Excellent. Very, very nice. Very chashuv. Excellent. Something I've got to think about. Very good. All right, let's, in a few minutes, let's go, tell you another idea. Okay, this is not a complete idea. Maybe you'll finish off the idea. Hashem was very angry at Klal Yisrael, obviously because of the Chedor Egel. So Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you're going to be punished. Now, if you look carefully in the Pesukim, there are two punishments. Number one is, there's a punishment, a long-term, v'yom pokti pokatati. I'm getting confused. Part of the punishment, part of the consequences of the Egel was Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, when they did achieve forgiveness, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but it's not going to be Plan A. Plan A was, I myself, Hashem says, would accompany you into the land. But because you've done the Chet Egel, I'm not going with you. Of course Hashem is going. I will send a representative, my malach, I think Michoel, a malach. Hashem is going to send, when Moshe achieves forgiveness, Hashem says to Moshe, Vishalachti, it's Pasuk Beis, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Vishalachti lefanecha malach. This is part of the consequences of the Chet HaEgel. I am not going. I will send a malach. And it's for your benefit. Rashi explains in very great detail, it's very important, why, the depth of what this means, a very critical Rashi. Why am I going to send a malach? Okay, the Rashi is a Kanani. Let me just find the pasuk. Oh no, I can't find where it says over here. Rashi basically said, I'm not going to be able to find the Kulimathical search over here. Oh, here it is. Okay, Rega Echot. Okay, here it is. God, Baruch Hashem. Reg, it's Pasuk Hey. Rega Echot, Ele Bikir Becho Uchili Sicha. Hashem says to Moshe, the reason why I'm not coming with you anymore is because if I go with you and I get angry, you step out of line, I get very angry very quickly. I'll wipe you out in 1 second. Im Ele Bikir Becho, the Atem Mamrim Bi, Bekashius Arpechem, in your stiff-necked stubbornness, I'll get angry in 1 second. And you'll be done. You'll be toast. Therefore, it's for your benefit that I keep a distance. You hear a lot of times parents talk about this about their children. I don't like the way you're raising my grandchildren. I don't want to see. Because if I see the way you raise, then I'm gonna get very upset. So it's better I don't see.
Hashem has a temper.
Oh, he sure does. Ooh. He does for sure. What? No, he doesn't. It seems he doesn't count the 10. So exactly what Rashi saying. You make a good point. He doesn't. Lefichach toiv lochem. It is for your benefit that I keep a distance. She'eshlach malach. Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, it's for your benefit. I can't come with you because you've already proven to me that you're not holding with the program, that you have a tendency to do crazy things. You worship the eagle 40 days after I took you out of Egypt. Look what you did. You guys are out of your mind. Who knows what you'll do if I'm going to come with you to Eretz Yisrael and I'm going with you, the Shekhinah is going with you, and you step out of line and you do something crazy, I'll flare up and I'll wipe you out in 1 second. You want that? Better, I'll send the malach, and I'll keep at a distance. Like, these are all mystical things. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you words. Okay, obviously, the whole world is reading the same words.
It's the sign of Hashem, it's mercy. Mercy would be.
Yes, Hashem is infinite. Everything has to be taken in context. Of course, everything has to be taken in context. I'm reading the words that the whole world reads, the same words. I'm not, this is Rashi and Chumash, and Hashem is saying Pshan the Pasik. Hashem, Kaviyochel, is going to keep a distance, a Hester upon him, from Klal Yishol for our benefit. Because if Hashem gets too close to us, and he sees how we're misbehaving like children, he's going to get angry, and then it's not going to be good. So it's for your benefit that I keep a distance. Now here's the shocking question I want to ask you. So what does Moshe say to Hashem? No. Moshe says to Hashem, I don't accept. If you don't come with us, we are not going. Period. Moshe says, I'm sorry. I hear it. Very good. It's very, very nice. If you're not coming, we don't want Malach. Malach, Arois, get out of here. If you don't come with us, we are not going. And basically, Hashem, it seems, accepted Moshe. But wait a minute. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for us? That means that if we misbehave, we toast. When Hashem said, if I'm going to come, Hashem is MS. There's no such thing. Hashem is MS. If Hashem says, if I come with you and you misbehave, and you will misbehave, because you've proven to me that you're going to misbehave, I'm going to finish you off. So Moshe says, come with us. That doesn't solve the problem. So Hashem, come with us. Come with us. And then Hashem is going, what's going to be? How are we going to survive? So let's look over here at the pasuk very carefully what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Moshe says, not necessarily. I hear what you say, but let's read the pasuk. Vayoymer Moshe. Moshe responds to Hashem. Okay, let me go further. Vayoymer panai yelich v'nilach vayoy Moshe. Ein, here's the response. Vayoymer elav. Moshe says to Hashem, I hear what you're saying. But I want to let you know something. I want to let you know, in ein ponecha holchem, if you don't come with us directly and dismiss the malach, al taleinu mizeh, we're not going to budge. And then Moshe says something more. Uvameh yivada efo ki motsasi chem beinech, ani v'yamecha. Okay, we're not going to go discuss that because that's way over my head. And then he adds a few more words here. V'niflinu ani v'amecha. V'niflinu means we will be apart. Mikol ha'am asher al pnei ha'adam. Now, what are these? Well, these are very powerful words, which is a very mystical concept. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ribbono shel Olam, another request to make of you. Do not rest your divine presence upon the Umay Sa'olam. Which is like, what does that mean exactly? Do not rest your divine presence. Rashi, Pasik Tezayin, just to read the words of Rashi to make sure that I'm not making up anything. Okay, now, actually, it's not Rashi. No, I saw this in Rashi today, in fact. Here it is. Games ha-dover hazeh. Okay, put the next pasuk. Hashem says, okay, I accept. Hashem says to Moshe, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, go good. Games ha-dover hazeh, asher dibar to eseh, ki motzosachin b'enecha vo'eidu'acha b'shem. What's the word gam? So basically, Hashem says, okay, Moshe, I accept. I'm coming. Count me in. Make a reservation. El Al, first class. Make for me a reservation. I'm coming. Book me a ticket. I'm coming with you. And you know what? The other request you made, v'niflinu ani v'amecha, which now Rashi in the next pasuk says, that I will not rest my divine presence. I accept that also. Also, sh'loi tishre shechinasi od any longer al umoy sa'olam e'eseh. I will do. Oh, Rashi goes, what about Bilam? He goes, Rashi gives a whole drasha. Bilam, there was no shechina. Rashi answers that. Rashi explains that. I'm going to do. What's going on over here? Now, we know today, we brought up, I mean, with Baruch Hashem, it's mamash part of our DNA, is that the only nation upon which Hashem rests his divine shechina is Klali Yisrael. But it appears that was not the original plan. The original plan is that we would be the Am HaNivchar, the chosen nation. We would get a full dosage of Hashem's relationship, his divine presence, and the Umay Sa'olam, Hashem would throw them a bone. America, yeah, there's a temple in America somewhere. There's a temple in Argentina, there's a temple in Canada. Every country has a chelek of Hashem's divine presence. Every nation will have a Navi. They'll have a chelek, a shtickle chelek. Hashem created man, B'Tselem Elokim. Aren't the goyim entitled to have a shtickle spirituality? A shchina, a shtickle. Not like Klal Yisrael's the Am HaNivchar. It's V'atem Tinuli Mamleches Koyhanim. Klal Yisrael is supreme. But the goyim, they're entitled. Give them a shtickle Ruach HaKodesh. Why not? What would be so terrible? Maybe they'll behave themselves. They wouldn't be go woke if they had a shtickle, a shchina. Can you blame the goyim? Can you really blame the goyim for going woke, meshuggah? Can you really blame them? What do they do the whole day? Klal Yisrael is busy. They're busy looking at Gedolim pictures. They're busy saying Tehillim. They're busy fighting about mezuzos. They're busy. What do the goyim do the whole day? They have nothing to do the whole day. So they go meshuggah. And mamash go meshuggah. Wouldn't it be so terrible? Give them something to fight about. Give them some gedolim. Give them something. They have nothing. They have mamash nothing. So mamash, you can't blame them for going meshuggah. Moshe says, give them nothing. Why did Moshe do that to them? Why did he take it away from them? So I want to suggest that's the insurance policy for Hashem coming with us. In other words, we suffer today quite a bit in this world. We suffer. We're under attack. Ki atem ha'ma'at, there are 8 billion people who hate us. We're only 15 million people up against a world of 18 billion people. Eight billion people.
They don't all hate us.
Eight what?
They don't all hate us.
Yeah, they do.
8 billion. You know, we got a big problem. If Hashem, think about this. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. But let's say Hashem would have given them a little Kedusha. Would the world hate us the same degree? I don't know. Maybe not. If they have spirituality, they would see in us, godless of Klal Yisrael. They wouldn't necessarily hate us to the degree they hate us.
Well, we see what Bilam did with
the... Bilam, Rashi says, is not Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi answers your question right on the page. Rashi goes, don't go tell me Bilam. Bilam is a garnish. Nothing.
He used it, you know, to...
Koychav, right. Rashi answers your question. Rashi says, Bilam, nothing. What would have been... I don't know the answer. I'm just all speculation. I'm just telling you, Drush.
They would have been paid off. They'd be using it against Klal Yisrael.
If they had Shechina?
Yeah.
Who said? Maybe you're right, but they right now we know as the fact they have nothing, and we know what they do to us. What would have been if Hashem would have given them something real, a shtickle kedusha? I don't know. Again, I'm not telling you that I know. Speculation. If they have some kedusha,
it's power. Hey,
look, you know, you appreciate a Ben Torah sees a Gadol B'Yisrael, appreciates him. You have a Ben Torah who's learning your. Oh, look at this person. You have an appreciation. Maybe the Umay Soilim, they would see Klal Yisrael. Oh, you know. But they have nothing. So they're not on the same wavelength. So they hate us. So wouldn't it have been a benefit for us if the Goyim also had Epis something? Why did Moshe take that away from them? Because Moshe made a very powerful... Okay, I'm telling you, it's all speculation. Okay, this could be what I'm telling you is totally nonsense, but I wonder you. But there are inyanim here that you have to figure out. You can go tell me better. I'm all ears. But Moshe Rabbeinu over here is making a very important cheshbon. Hashem says to Moshe, "I am not coming with you. I will not join you." That's a terrible, terrible tzar for Klal Yisrael that the Shechina is not in our midst. The Shechina is not with us. To a greater degree, whatever all this means. Why? For a very good reason. A very good reason. Because if we misbehave and the Shechina is with us, it's over. So Moshe says, Hashem, you have to come with us, and we have to find the solution to control your anger. We have to send you for therapy.
You don't want Big Brother watching you every second.
Well, we do want. We do want Hashem watching. We need Hashem's divine presence. Moshe says, but we got a big problem. Because if Hashem is with us and Big Brother is watching us, then we're in a lot of trouble. So what's the solution? An insurance policy. What's the insurance policy? Why does Hashem get angry and flare up? Because you're not going to behave. I'll go to the other nations. I got other customers out there. You're telling me what to do? You don't want to? I have a whole line around the block. I have plenty of customers. I have other nations that I've rested my divine presence. Not like you, but I'll busy myself. I'll exchange you for another nation that has divine presence. It might not be the same, but you guys are impossible. You guys are stubborn. You guys are just impossible. I'll go to them. I'll go to the Americans. I'll go to the Canadians. No, they're not so great either. Yeah. All right, but at least you angered me. They did not yet anger me. I'll go to them. The insurance policy is, Ribbono Shel Olam, you have nowhere else to go. You're stuck with us. You're stuck. Where are you going to go? If you promise us, promising not to rest your divine presence, you have nowhere to go. You're not going to burn down your own house. You're not going to go. You get angry, so you get angry. You're not going to go harm yourself. No one harms themselves. If you have another self, so I don't like another costume, so I'll destroy that. You have nowhere to go. That's the insurance policy. Vinifalinu, I'm not coming with you for good reason. The reason is a reality. We got. You have to come with us. Oh, but it's suicide if Hashem comes with us. Oh, we got a solution. Don't rest your divine presence on anyone else in this world. Maskim. Now Hashem can't get angry at us when we misbehave, because Hashem has nowhere else to go. But it comes with quite a price. It comes with a steep price. And that's the whole world hates us. If Hashem would have rested his Shechina, give every nation a little bit, then, oh, if I only know one Masechta, and he knows Kol HaTorah Kula, I worship him. A Talmud Chacham, you see someone better, oh, you have respect. The Goyim don't even know the Aleph Beis, they have nothing. So they hate us, they're on a different wavelength. They look at us as crazy Meshugayim. Look at these Jews, what are they doing over here? There's a steep price to pay, but it's worth it. Moshe Rabbeinu made a calculated decision. Hashem, come with us. We're not going to budge. Oh, but we will misbehave. That's right, we will misbehave. And Hashem's going to flare up and destroy us. We got a solution. The solution is, don't rest your divine presence anywhere else. Okay, Hashem's not going to get angry at us anymore because he has no choice. But all of the nations of the world are going to hate us. Is it Kedai?
Yes.
Moshe Rabbeinu made that calculation. Mm-hmm. It's Kedai. It's Kedai. The cost of the Umo Yisraelim having nothing, v'niflin ani v'amecha, comes at the gain. The benefit is Hashem is with us and he can't get angry because he has nowhere to go, but they hate us.
Very nice.
And we have now a very delicate, we're walking on eggshells through history. Mm-hmm. We're walking with Hashem. We step out of line, Hashem's not going to get angry, but the Umo Yisraelim are going to be unleashed. Because we're weakened when we anger Hashem. Hashem is not going to destroy us. But the Umo Yisraelim sense that Hashem is not so happy with us, and they let out their frustration upon us. It's a delicate, delicate balance. Moshe is making calculations and decisions that are cosmic. All here in this parasha. Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful Shabbos. Hora aduma tanima, zois hatar, zois hat adam ki yomus mo'ayhal, eidu mikolam nevis atzman tera. Wait, want to say Kaddish, you have a minion?
Kaddish,
good Shabbos.
Good, beautiful.
Thank you very much, thank you.